Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. I'm going to be speaking today about the judgments of the Lord, and this subject has been on my heart. This has been a burden on me in the last couple of weeks since the Supreme Court decision came down about homosexual marriage and allowing or basically forcing gay marriage upon this land. And so I pray that you will receive this with love. I pray that you will receive this with the intent that it is given, and that is that God wants this nation to exalt Him. God wants this nation to rejoice in His glory. God wants this nation to revere Him and to fear Him. And so I speak this message not in hatred or in bitterness or anger or unforgiveness to any person out there or any individual or group of people, but in the love of God to warn people about what is coming to America, to warn people that if we do not turn back from our wicked ways, that God is going to judge this nation, that there will be judgment coming. And so we're going to be talking just a little bit today about God's judgment, what gives God the authority to judge this nation, and how He declares that in His Word. And so we know that God is true to His Word. We know that He cannot go back against His Word. We know that when He speaks something, it is faithful and true to the end, and God will not go back on it, what He has spoken over us. And so I pray that you receive this with the love that I have. Many, many people have misinterpreted Christians' reaction to the ruling in favor of gay marriage. Many people have misinterpreted that. They think that we're homophobic and that we are judging gay people and that we are pointing a finger at gay people in harsh criticism and in judgment, and that is not true, beloved. We, especially preachers and pastors who understand the Word, we are speaking out of love. God loves every single person. He created every single person here on the face of the earth, and so He loves every single person, and so God loves them just as I love them. I've had the privilege over the years, many years of preaching in the prison, to be able to minister to gay people, to homosexuals. I've had that privilege to be able to do that, and God has blessed me with the words to say. The Holy Spirit has given me the right words and the love for them, to encourage them to walk with the Lord, to encourage them to get right with the Lord. And so God loves them just as I do. And so our admonition to them, our encouragement to them, is to seek the Lord, just as any person in any sinful lifestyle or any person engaged in any sin is. The remedy for that is Jesus Christ, to seek the Lord, to cry out for Him. And if people are in bondage to certain lifestyles, whether it be homosexuality or adultery, fornication or lying, cheating, stealing, reviling, drunkenness, whatever it is, the solution to that is just to seek the Lord. Jesus Christ died on the cross and He shed His precious blood for people of every walk of life, of every nation, of every tongue, no matter where they were or no matter where they are today. The solution is to turn to Jesus Christ and to let Him take over your life, to let Him come in and reside in your heart, in your holy temple, to let the Holy Spirit come in and convict you of sin and righteousness and judgment. And so it is not God's will that any person should suffer death, that is to say, eternal death. It is not God's will that any person should suffer eternal death, but we know that His Word says that the wages of sin is death. And so we know that people who continue in unrepentant sin, people who continue in lifestyles that God has condemned in His Word and has called abomination in His Word, we know that those people are going to be condemned. And so we cry out in love. We cry out and we speak love to those people. We speak the love of Jesus Christ, that He died for you. And so if you know anybody who is trapped in a sinful lifestyle, you pray for them. And God has given me the platform and the provision to speak the words of truth over the airwaves, to speak the words of truth, that He would be able to come into people's hearts and change their hearts, and change their stony hearts and become a heart of flesh that would receive the Lord Jesus Christ and be able to transform and do His transforming work in the lives of every single person here throughout the earth. Well, Jeremiah 9, if you have your Bible there, turn it to Jeremiah 9. We're going to be starting there and looking at quite a bit of scripture today, what God's Word says. And the first point I want to make today, beloved, is this, that God establishes in His Word, all throughout His Word, He establishes His right and His authority to judge individual people and also to judge the nations. And I speak this word about judgment because God has shown me over the years that there's going to be calamity, there's going to be pestilence, there's going to be a terrorist attack and war and bloodshed, and all of this is in the future of America if we do not repent and if we do not turn back from our wicked ways, that God's judgment, He is going to take and remove His hand of blessing off this nation, and He is going to allow judgment to come in to try to discipline us and chasten us and bring us back from the edge of eternal death and bring us back as a nation from our pathway to just allow any kind of moral decay and decline to take over and establish itself here in this nation. And so God's Word says in Jeremiah 9, verse 23, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches." Verse 24, "But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment that is justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord." And so he says again, to repeat, verse 24, "Let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord." And so as those of us who are mature Christians, as we understand the Lord, and I'm not saying, beloved, that others don't understand the Lord, but as you develop a maturity in your walk with Jesus, and as you develop a maturity in your study of God's Word, you start to have a passion, you start to have a desire and a brokenness for the things that God cares about. You start to have a brokenness for the lost, and you have a brokenness and a deep desire for those who don't understand the consequences of the lifestyles and the sin that they have chosen. They don't understand the consequences of what they are doing in terms of their eternal fate and their eternal life or death. And so those of us who have a more mature understanding, we know that God loves every single person. We know that God cares about every single person. He cares about them so much that He sent His own Son, His very own begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to hang on the cross, to shed His blood, that those of us who are sinners, those of us who are caught up in sin and recognize our sin and acknowledge our sin, we can cry out to the Lord for forgiveness. We can cry out to the Lord in repentance because we understand we have hurt the heart of Father God, that we have sinned against man and we have sinned against the heart of God and we have sinned against heaven. And so we cry out to the Lord. And so our passion for those who are lost, our passion and our zeal for those who are lost and who don't understand the consequences of their actions and the consequences of their choices here on this earth, that they too can hear the message of the gospel. They too can hear the truth of the gospel, and they can turn from their wicked ways, and they can cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness and repent and turn from their wicked ways, and they too can know life. I speak life over every single person that is trapped in sinful lifestyle. I speak life over them, that God, you would set them free this day, that you would break every chain off of them, that you would send your angels to war over every single person within the sound of my voice, and every single person that is trapped in sinful lifestyle, no matter what lifestyle it is, Lord, that you would just break the chains off of them and set them free, as only you are able to do. Well, in Psalm 19, verse 7, it tells us about the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, more to be desired than gold, yes, much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. And so, Psalm 19, verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, more to be desired than gold. And so as much as we desire gold, as much as we desire to have financial security, it tells us that the judgments of the Lord are to be desired even much more than gold. Why is that, beloved? Why should that be? It is because when we desire the judgments of the Lord, then we know that we are going to be walking step by step with the Lord. We know that we are going to be walking in agreement with the Lord. And when we invite His judgment into our life, when we invite His scrutiny into our life, and we say, Lord, judge me, judge my heart, judge my soul. Lord, you see into me every wicked way in me. Create in me a clean heart, King David said. Create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. And so when we invite in the judgments of the Lord, we're saying to the Lord, Lord, I'm giving you the right and the authority to judge me, to judge my motives, to judge my intents, to judge the thoughts of my mind. And so when we do that, then we get in right step and we get in agreement with the Lord. And so we don't have to wait until we're chastised. We don't have to wait until we're knocked down and we are disciplined. We invite in the judgment of the Lord so we stay right with the Lord each and every day as we walk this earth. God judged His own children, the nation of Israel. He did it over and over, even to the point where they became so rebellious to Him that God allowed the enemies of Israel to come in and take them off into captivity. First, they took off the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes of Israel. The Assyrians came in and took them off into captivity, and then 90 years later, the Babylonians came in and they took Judah and Benjamin, the two remaining tribes, into captivity. And so God has allowed His own children to be chastised, to be disciplined, to be judged, to be taken into captivity. And I know that it is not God's will for this to happen in America. It is not God's will for our enemies to come in. God wants to bless this nation. I do not speak doom and gloom over this nation. I do not want to speak gloom and doom. But if God gives me the word to speak, and as a word of warning, as a watchman on the wall, as a word of warning, if God gives me a word to speak, I will speak that. I will have to speak that. I've done that over the years. In 2008, I was in Costa Rica, and I was praying over and over in the Spirit. I was praying, asking the Lord, Lord, what is the destiny for the United States of America? What is the calling for us as a nation, Lord? What is our future, Lord? And He showed me, He revealed to me in a series of dreams over about a week. He revealed to me in a series of dreams the things that were coming to America if we did not turn back from our wicked ways, if we did not repent and turn back and cry out to the Lord. God showed me in a series of dreams that which was coming, and it was not pretty, beloved. It was not something that I look forward to, and I pray that we can turn back from our wicked ways and we can write this country back to the Lord, that we can write it and not have to suffer the things that He showed me. He showed me famine was coming and pestilence and terrorist attack. And in all of these dreams, it was frightening. in their totality. It was frightening in the consequences that he showed me for America. And so I pray that we can not have to be chastised that way. I pray that we cannot have to endure and go through those things, because there's going to be great bloodshed. There's going to be a body count. There will be many people who don't understand what's going on, that this is the judgment of the Lord coming upon this nation. Well, in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 10, the Apostle Paul talks about the judgments that were given to the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness area because they rebelled against God and they did not keep his commandments while they were out there in the wilderness area. 1 Corinthians 5:10, it says, "With most God was not pleased. With most of them God was not pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." And so Paul says that many of them were chastised, many of them were trapped in sexual immorality, they were trapped in the evil desires and the lusts of their heart, and so God had to discipline them. And he had to, in one point in time, take 23,000 of them in discipline for them eating and drinking and following after the lusts of their heart and following after sexual immorality. And so we have been given an example, Paul says, that these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition. And so we have God's Word. We have these stories in the Bible, and yes, you could say, well, those are just stories, they happened thousands of years ago, but every single scripture is given for our benefit. There is something to learn from every single scripture in God's Word. And so as we think about the things that happened to his very own children, the children of Israel, and how he used them as examples, and he set examples in front of us so that we could see and we could be admonished and we could be warned, turn back, turn back, turn from our wicked ways. And so as we see these examples, then we know that God is serious when people sin, that God is serious. There are serious consequences, not only here on this earth, but also the wages of sin is death. Well, we know that in the wilderness, when they tempted Christ, some were tempted and destroyed by the serpents. That story is in Numbers 21:6. It says, "So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. And many of the people of Israel died. And therefore," in verse 7, "many of the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' So Moses prayed for the people." And so the picture here is that the people came to Moses, and they were in agony. They were in torment because the serpents were biting them, and the serpents were killing them, and they were dying. And so they came to Moses, and they said, "Moses, pray for us. Cry out for us. Cry out to the Lord," because Moses had seen the Lord. Moses had spoken to the Lord. And they said, "Moses, cry out to the Lord to save us. We realize that we have sinned." And so Moses prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent, Moses, and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at that, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. And so this is a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. When the people were bitten by the serpents, if they looked at the bronze serpent on the pole that Moses erected, if they looked at that bronze serpent, then they were spared the death of the serpents that had bitten him. They were spared. And so this is a type and shadow of Jesus Christ, who is lifted up. He is lifted up in front of you today, beloved. He is lifted up in front of you. And I pray that if you are trapped in any lifestyle, any sinful lifestyle that you can't seem to break away from, that you'd look to Jesus Christ. If I be lifted up, Jesus said, I will draw all men unto me. And so if you look to Jesus Christ, if you look to him, whatever it is that has taken you to death here on this earth, whatever it is that has taken you to your eternal death, for the wages of sin is death. If you will look to Jesus Christ, he has shed his blood for you on the cross. He has already paid the price for your sin. He has already set you free. And Jesus Christ can set you free today if you will look to him, because he is above every sin. He is above every sickness. He is above every name upon this earth. He is a name above every name, and all those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And if you will do that today, Jesus Christ will set you free. He will set you free and release you from that bondage that you're in. Well, Psalm 2, I'm going to close there. Psalm 2, it says, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. This is Jesus Christ again. I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. And I will declare and decree, the Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. And you shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Therefore be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, that is, kiss Jesus, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. Well, I pray, beloved, those of you listening to me today, that you would kiss the Son. Kiss the Son, kiss Jesus, lest you perish in the way. God has given us the way out. God has given us the way and the release and the freedom to rejoice in our relationship with him, to be set free from sin, to know him for all eternity, to not suffer the condemnation and the consequences of our sinful ways. And God has provided for you today that opportunity. He has given it to you today. Be instructed. Be instructed. Now therefore be wise, O king. Be instructed, you judges. Serve the Lord with fear. And I pray each and every one of you listening today would serve the Lord with fear, would seek him, and turn from your wicked ways, and cry out to the Lord, and he will be faithful and true to save you. Well, I thank you for listening today. I pray that you would consider the Lord's judgment on this nation and upon yourself. We're going to be talking more about this next week. We are asking you to partner with this ministry as we are getting ready to go back to Africa again to preach crusades in Burundi and in Congo and in Kenya. And so I pray that you would partner with this ministry. I pray that you would consider sending a donation to help this ministry, to boost this ministry, to help pay for the expenses of the crusades. And we're going to give you contact information. Stay tuned here in just a minute for the contact information. I thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.